Yes, indeed. It is a new start time for Crunch Time with JB and Double T here on your hometown radio station, Eagle Country 99.3. And we are proud to have a new proud sponsor, which is Liberty Tax. You can find them on US 50 right next to Dearborn Savings Bank. And it's that time of year you need to get on those taxes. And, well, they're going to try to maximize your tax return. And we will definitely be talking more about what Liberty Tax can do for you over the next couple of weeks and probably months as well. But we're going to jump right into it tonight. It is officially Rivertown Classic Week. Myself and John Blackwell here in the studio, 20 East High Street, downtown Lawrenceburg. And we're going to talk plenty about the Rivertown Classic. But JB, we didn't get a chance to catch up last week. I was absolutely devastated last Monday having to sit in here and talk about my Ohio State Buckeyes losing in one of the national semifinals. So I know we want to talk a little football before we turn to basketball. So what were your thoughts on those two national semifinal games?
Well, like everybody, or not everybody, but like most people, I picked LSU to beat Oklahoma. Nothing crazy about that, but the way they did it was unbelievable. I mean, that was a clinic, an offensive clinic, and their defense wasn't bad either. That LSU defense has gotten better and better. So I was just floored by Joe Burrow, like everybody else, and his accuracy throwing the ball and LSU's offensive game plan. An Ohio State fan I'm not, but I certainly can empathize a little bit with such a big play being overturned that maybe shoulda, and there's still plenty of opportunities for Ohio State to win that game, but you've just got to give, regardless of where you stand on that defensive touchdown that maybe coulda, shoulda been, you got to give Clemson all the credit in the world. I mean, the pardon the cliche, but the spirit of a champion being down 16-0 to such a dominant force in Ohio State, and just their poise and ability to make the key plays down the stretch is to be commended. I think it's going to be a great game next week.
Mm-hmm. Well, I got
the Tigers.
Yeah, exactly right. Just don't know which colors you're picking. But yeah, that Ohio State game was a tough one. I didn't even care so much about the fumble recovery being overturned because they ended up scoring to take a 23-21 lead anyways.
Right.
And so it was inconsequential. I had more of a problem with the Sean Wade ejection. And, you know, Ohio State kind of shooting themselves in the foot with some bad penalties. But I did give Clemson a lot of credit for capitalizing on those penalties and coming back to win. They showed a heart of a champion. They've won, what, 30 games in a row now for a reason.
29-30,
whatever it is. So it should be a good national championship game one week from tonight, but maybe not.
I commend you for that, Travis, not playing the penalty card as an Ohio State fan, because I've got a few other Ohio State fans in my life that keep – but, you know, I mean, you can say it's inconsequential. 23-0 is a big deal. Mm-hmm. But to your point, they did take the lead, have a chance to do it. And what a season they had. I mean, I don't remember a year, at least in the playoff era, where there were three dominant teams like we had this year.
Yeah, so three undefeated teams, too.
Undefeated to start, but not only undefeated, but undefeated in dominant fashion. I mean, really, Clemson escaped North Carolina. Other than that, none of these three teams had a down-to-the-wire finish. So you're looking
really
at
no.
39 games, and only one of them comes down to the wire. So I reward Ohio State. This Ohio State team is the best team to not play for the national.
Yeah.
Not even not win it, but not play for the national title. But it is hard to pick against Clemson. We've got next week. The game's not until next week. I've got another week before I go on the record.
That's true. I just want to throw out one thing. That game is being played in Louisiana, but we will touch on that next Monday for sure. How about the NFL playoffs? Did you get a chance to watch any of the games on Saturday?
Quite a bit of them. I was thrilled. I can get used to 3 o'clock varsity basketball games and being home by 7 o'clock like most people on a Saturday night.
Yeah, for sure.
And my kids are really into it, so I watched a lot more NFL on a playoff weekend than I usually do just because my schedule allowed it. And what a high-drama weekend. I mean, 3 of the 4 games literally coming down to the last drive, and it's not like the Eagles and the Seahawks game was a blowout, 17-9. You know, you felt bad for the Eagles not being able to finish it at full strength. But fortunately, I didn't have to go on the record with my Super Bowl pick last week because it was the Saints out of the NFC, and you can't fault anybody that picked the Saints. But Minnesota's defense, I think of all 4 games – and I know the big storyline is the Patriots losing. The Patriots' offense getting shut down was not that big of a storyline.
No.
They were not that strong. What Minnesota's defense did in New Orleans was the most impressive single entity of the weekend for me. And I'm not going to rule them out doing the same thing in San Francisco.
Yeah, I don't know that there was any surprises there. I thought Tennessee could be really competitive playing against New England, especially with how well Derrick Henry has ran the ball this year. So wasn't real surprised that they won that game. I picked the Saints to go to the Super Bowl.
Me too.
That was
Me
more
too.
Of a heart pick, though, because they got a lot of Buckeyes on the team that I'm very fond of.
It wasn't a total heart pick, Travis. The Saints were really
good this year. Yeah, but you can kind of see where I'm coming from there. But a lot of great games there, and moving into the divisional round, you got Minnesota at San Francisco, Tennessee at Baltimore, Houston at Kansas City, and Seattle at Green Bay. So we're down to the final eight. Should be some good games going into the weekend, so looking forward to it.
I think the potential upsets lie in the NFC. Give me chalk in the AFC. Yeah, I think it was going to be Ravens and Chiefs no matter what, regardless of who came out of the Tennessee-New England game. So give me the chalk in the AFC with Baltimore and Kansas City setting up what should be a great AFC championship game, but both of those NFC games, I wouldn't be surprised to be. I wouldn't be shocked. I'd be surprised, but I wouldn't be shocked if it was Minnesota and Seattle. Those defenses are really good.
Yeah, in Seattle, they're used to playing in bad weather, so I don't
think they're used to traveling.
Lambeau's not going to phase them.
Everything. Pete Carroll and Russell Wilson been there, done that. So
I would love to disagree with you, but I don't know that I'm going to, because you make some sound points there, and I just want to see four more good games, and you know, three more good ones after that, so we can really enjoy the rest of this football season. But with that, I say we transfer this conversation into some basketball. We've got the Rivertown Classic coming up this week. It's a big week here at Eagle Country 99.3 because we call all eight games, both girls and boys. And maybe we'll talk about the girls tournament here briefly to start out. We got Lawrenceburg going for an unprecedented four in a row, and we know you know this team very well.
Give me the Lady Tigers. I don't think I'm hurting anybody's feelings when I say they're a heavy favorite on paper. I don't think anybody will accuse me of a Lawrenceburg bias, which admittedly I do have a Lawrenceburg bias, and I'm not ashamed of that. But, you know, our girls are talented. They're deep. They're really defending well. They had to defend well this past weekend to win their tournament championship because Charlestown had a game plan to limit our girls, and they won a grinder 28-20. And
right.
You know what? On one hand, hey, they didn't play well, whatever, say all you want. Maybe that's good for our girls to win a game in that type of fashion, because they haven't had to do that a whole lot. It's only going to help you down the stretch, but I mean this as a compliment to the Lady Tigers, and as no slight to anybody else, but I got the Lady Tigers this weekend.
I want to get back to that championship game that they had over the weekend. It was a Rumble on the River, playing Charlestown 28-20, as you mentioned, but they won a game where Juliana was not the leading scorer, which they've done a handful
Kristen
of times
Roark.
Anyways, but it's nice to see some different names stepping up in tough situations when the offense isn't really going well.
And they won a grinder, because even in games that our girls have been that have been close, that we've always had that one run that separates ourselves, and it was a grinder. I mean, it's 20-20 going into the fourth quarter, and then we pitched a shutout in the fourth quarter. They didn't score the entire fourth quarter.
Yeah.
So I think that's only going to make our girls tougher coming down the stretch. But you know, I don't think I'm going out on too crazy of a limb picking our girls to get that four-peat this year.
And, I mean, yeah, they're very, very good. Probably the odds-on favorite if you had that in high school basketball. And undefeated on the season for a reason. How about Coach Zane White getting his 100th win, too? You want to chime in on that? That's excellent.
100 wins means a lot. It means you've been doing it a while. And nobody's 100-0. And it means you've been doing it a while. You've had your share of success. And I've never met a coach that was 100-0. So it means you've bounced back from your share of losses. And he's as deserving as anybody to get to that milestone in his young career, because he's not an old man.
Right, and you know what? Man, the 100 wins, that's awesome, but I know he wants two more wins to cut down the nets at the Rivertown to capture that four-peat this week. They do have the returning MVP of the tournament, Juliana Kemper. Gone is McKenna White, who made the all-tourney team last year, but a couple other returnees from other teams that were on the all-Rivertown team last year. Kirsten Bond for South Dearborn, a big-time scorer. She does the bulk of the scoring for
South
Dearborn.
Oh, she's a good player, yeah.
And they're going to need to get some help elsewhere, though, if they want to tame the Tigers in the first round.
Yeah, no doubt about that. They haven't found that consistent second score, but the Bond girls, she's a well-rounded player for sure.
And then moving on to the other side of the bracket, Leah Thomas is back for Switzerland County. They had won 7-8 games going into that Rumble on the River. They were in the same tournament at Lawrenceburg. Ended up coming away with the fifth-place win there, but got beat up a little bit and broke that winning streak. But Leah Thomas, a very good player, leading that team this year, and they'll go up against Rising Sun, who is kind of trying to improve as the season goes along. They got one win up the Speedway tournament in the consolation game, so that should be a really nice matchup as well. But the thing I love most about the Rivertown is I guess you can consider all four teams rivals per se, but the main rivals are playing in the first round.
It's my 8th year as a coach at Lawrenceburg. It's the first time that's happened, and I don't think it's happened very many times in the 20-year history of the tournament, but I can tell you as a fact it's the first year out of 8. And I've seen the draw, so anybody who says it's rigged because they won at Lawrenceburg and South Dearborn in the championship, I've seen the draw with my own two eyes. There's nothing rigged about it.
Gotcha. And we mentioned, you know, Lawrenceburg going for that fourth straight on the girls' side, but South Dearborn in the driver's seat with the all-time wins at 8. Switzerland County's right behind them with 7. And Rising Sun, the Rising Sun girls, the lone school yet to win a Rivertown Classic, which might be a good transition because the Rising Sun boys won the first one in their school history last year. And I know it's a little bit of a sore spot you because they did take down your team in that tournament, but they were outstanding last year.
Well, yeah, a sore spot a little bit, but you move on quickly in this business, and we certainly have. But yeah, it was at our expense. We obviously had won our share of those things going into last year, and in a tournament last year that was wide open, we just didn't get it done, and Rising Sun did. But they had an outstanding senior class, and I can separate myself from losing that game, Travis, and really feeling good for the kids that won that for Rising Sun because they had outstanding careers and they were great representatives of Rising Sun and high school basketball. But, that was last year and that's enough reminiscing on last year. The Tigers are in it to win it this year, as is everybody else.
Yeah. I'll say one thing on last year and then we will move past it. Noah Flume in the championship game was just out of control. The third quarter he had there was one for the ages and one of the better individual performances I have got to call in my short time as a broadcaster out at the Rivertown Classic. So always have a lot of fun at the Rivertown Classic, and I'll be out there for the boys tournament on Thursday and Saturday. So looking forward to seeing your Lawrenceburg Tigers in action. 5-2 on the season. You played a couple of interesting teams over the weekend. How was that?
It was great. We didn't know what we were getting into. We didn't host a holiday tournament this year for the first time in a few years, and we're kind of late to the game looking for something, and found this little event that was going on at Covington Holy Cross. We played a team called Cardinal Stritch out of Toledo. They've got some guys. They had a guy drop 7 for 8 from the 3-point line on us, and he's not the one that is signed to go play Division I basketball. They had another young man named Holyfield that's going to play for Oakland in the Horizon League.
Wow,
so,
okay.
I don't want to say we weren't in over our heads because despite the lopsided score, our kids competed their tails off like this group always does, and that's a team that probably beats us 5 out of 6 or 6 out of 7, and I'm not going to rule out our group beating anybody, but we didn't get it done the one shot we had with them, and they had a lot to do with that. And then we bounced back on Saturday and played a team from way down in Somerset, Kentucky, called Southwestern. Came way up here from the Lake Cumberland area, and it was a really good game. Obviously not a lot of fans there outside of parents, but it was a really, really good game. I was real proud of how our guys played, and we got down 11-1 and 20-12 after one and kept battling, and they're really well coached and fundamentally sound, and had a couple real nice players, and we got the lead in the third quarter and never gave it back up. And for a guy who has had a lot of really good games in his career, it's probably one of Gavin's best games, if not his best game offensively, defensively. The toughness and leadership he brought us, he got an efficient 29 points. But that said, even though he led us on the stat sheet like he often does, it was a real team win. Only had 6 turnovers as a team. Mitch McCool, Garrett Yoon, Dia Patel, Dakota Roth handling the ball, and their pressure off the bench was big, and it was a real team effort. They had a big 6'8 kid named Braden Sims that we were able to hold well below his average. Kamar Chenault did a lot of the work on that, but Braden York and Ashton Craig and Andrew Rennekamp, team defending him down there on the block. So it was a real good win for us, and really a real good weekend. I mean, like any other coach, you hate to lose, and you hate to lose by 20 points like we did, but I mean, that Cardinal Stritch team, they're for real. And I was real proud of the way our kids competed despite that lopsided score.
That's a building block type weekend, playing some tough competition, teams you're not familiar with. So I thought your team, at least by looking at the box score, did well for themselves over the weekend. That Southwestern game, you mentioned Gavin with the 29 points on near 50% shooting. So really exceptional there. And then Kamar Chenault, 5 of 5 on the night, had double digits. And Jackson Bobo was in double digits.
Yeah, we got
too.
Three guys in double digits. Kamar's really efficient. And he was hampered with foul trouble, too. So Kamar got 11 points and 8 rebounds, and he sat most of the second quarter. Ashton Craig and Braden York spelled him. Jackson Bobo's a tall, long sophomore, for those of you that haven't seen us, that keeps getting better and better. So we definitely have a go-to guy. That's no secret, but we're really blending some experienced pieces and some new pieces pretty well around Gavin. And it's just a fun team to coach right now. And to say that we're excited about the Rivertown is an understatement. To say that we're excited about the opportunity to play South Dearborn is an understatement. I know their kids are pumped. We're pumped, and Coach Reinhardt's doing a great job with them. And that's going to be a heck of a – that's not going to be bad for Thursday at 6 p.m.
Not at all.
The Tigers
and
Knights.
That's going to be a pretty good atmosphere. Hopefully all the parents and everybody will be able to get off work and there in time safely. But did you get a chance to see South Dearborn play over
them.
In Covington?
Well, they were in the same event. We've seen South Dearborn. They've seen us. It's there's no secrets. I got to see them before Christmas on a Saturday night when they played Boone County and we didn't play. And then we had back-to-back games. Like, they played and then we played and then the next day it was flip-flop. So let's just say the Tigers and Knights have done their homework on each other, and nobody's going to trick anybody Thursday night. It's going to be two teams. There's going to be 10 kids out on the floor at all times that want to win badly, and that's the biggest thing that sticks out to you, Travis, when you watch South Dearborn, is just how hard they play. And if that sounds like a cliche, so be it. But trust me, with these kids, it's not. And the people in Eagle Country that have seen them play know the intensity they play with. They know how hard they get up and down the floor. They stick their nose in there. There's all kinds of red shirts or blue shirts or gray. They got more uniforms than anybody I've ever seen.
They are going to be wearing white. They're going to be the home
white,
team in both their games this week.
On the floor for loose balls and stuff like that. So, you know, the winner of this one on Thursday night is going to, whoever comes out on top between us and South Dearborn is going to have earned a victory. I can guarantee you that.
And I caught up with Coach Reinhardt. We're going to get to that interview here in just a moment. But before you get out of the door, because we know you got to get out and do some business there.
Yeah, I've got a 7 p.m. tip off to scout in Northern Kentucky, so I'm going to leave you here to finish strong by yourself. But yeah, go ahead.
So
before
one
I do.
Final thought, I mentioned this to Coach Reinhardt. South Dearborn, Lawrenceburg on the boys' side, both have won 7 Rivertown Classics.
I forgot about
it's
that.
It's the 20th annual.
I forgot about
you're
that.
You're tied up there. Whoever wins is going to get a chance to perhaps stand alone.
Take the all-time lead.
So what would that mean for you and your program?
It would mean a lot, and I won't lie. And I forgot about that. I had that data last year. I hadn't looked at it yet this year. It would mean a lot. I mean, you know, it's just another feather in the cap, and especially, you know, for these guys, because our senior class, Mitch and Kamar and Gavin, those guys, and Andrew and Kemp, they've been a part of Rivertown championships, but not as
main
the guys. Yeah. So more importantly for them, I know it would mean a lot, and if that gets us over the hump, you know, because we won 3 or 4 of those things in a row, and we've been trying to play catch up to South Dearborn. So if this is a year that gets us over the hump, that's an extra feather in the cap. But that's good talk for a radio show. Come Thursday night, nobody's going to be counting 7-7, but.
Yeah, well, there's definitely a couple storylines going into Thursday, but so glad you could come.
Yeah,
out.
I am going to step out. I've got a game I need to scout in Northern Kentucky that starts a little earlier than normal, so I'm going to hit the road and get there. And Travis, always fun doing this with you, and finish it strong without me. And hopefully, we'll see a lot of listeners out there at the Rivertown all 4 nights, boys and girls.
Absolutely. And as you're exiting, I'm going to call in Coach Reinhardt to help me finish out the show. You took your team over to Covington, Kentucky, got yourself a couple wins over the weekend, so likely feeling pretty good going into Rivertown Classic. But what's kind of the mindset behind getting into some of these holiday tournaments and playing some teams that your kids aren't accustomed to playing?
Well, you know, we just wanted them to see different teams to play more our style of basketball. You know, we played Newport's a really good team. They have a guy getting D1, D2 looks, averaging, you know, 25 points a game. And then we had a Louisville Holy Cross team that obviously plays in a really tough area. They have a guy, you know, a couple guys, 6'6 point guard. You know, they have a big guy, 6'6 kid inside. You know, that kind of plays similar to a lot of teams we play, but just different. Just seeing different opponents and different types of teams and different types of styles.
And you're going to come across some familiar opponents at the 20th annual Rivertown Classic. Pretty crazy that it's already 20 years have gone by with this tournament. But South Dearborn's had some great success over the years in the Rivertown Classic. I think this is just going to be your third Rivertown Classic, but you're paired up with Lawrenceburg, and both teams have won 7 titles on the boys' side. So whoever wins this game is going to get a chance to set alone atop that record book if you can win the 2 games. So is it really important for you to kind of have that notch on your belt when it's going up against Lawrenceburg like that, going for a record?
Well, to me, I mean, I'm a competitive guy, so I don't care who we're playing or what it's for. If it's for a win, that's what, you know, it is. Obviously, it adds a little bit more excitement to everybody and with the being Lawrenceburg. You know, Lawrenceburg, South Dearborn, and, you know, having the chance to have the most Rivertown wins. But, you know, I'm trying to prepare the guys like it's like we do every day, every game. And, you know, I know they're a little bit, they're excited. They're coming out today. They had, you know, after 2 big wins, being 2 good teams, you know, they're excited anyway. But then to come out and they know they're playing Lawrenceburg on Thursday, there's a little bit more excitement in them today in practice.
All right, and you got Alex Shackelford back this year. He was an all-Rivertown kid last year. Aside from him, who else you expecting to show out big time in this tournament coming in this week?
Well, I mean, we have Shaq's obviously a big part of what we do, and he has been. He's a star for me since a sophomore year. One of the first things I looked at when I came in my first practice, I talked to some of the guys that were left over from the staff. And said, "Who's this kid right here?" And they're like, "Oh, you know, it's Alex Shackelford." And, you know, I kind of said, "Well, what did he do last year?" And they kind of said, "Oh, you know, we got our guy." And I said, "Well, that's the best part of the gym as a sophomore." And, you know, it turns out to be right. But so he's going to be huge for us, obviously. We got Eli Hoffman right now. Oh, he's playing offensively, you know, as a sophomore, playing out of his mind offensively. Really tough player, getting better defensively every day, getting better rebounds. He had the other night, Friday against Newport, he didn't have his best shooting game. He missed a lot of shots he normally makes, but on the rebounding side, he almost had a double-double. Nice. And made a lot of big free throws for us to help seal the game. And then Saturday, you know, he had 21 for us, 21 and 7. So he's big for us. You know, got Tristan Daly as a senior that's been playing some big minutes. Reese Willoughby, who came on last year for us, he's been playing a lot of big minutes. He's played in some big-time games. You know, this is his be playing against Lawrenceburg again for his second or third time, I believe. So he's played in some big games for us. And, you know, we have a lot of guys that are quitting. Stevens, you know, he's playing big minutes for us, a lot of minutes. Marcus Robson playing a lot of minutes for us lately. So we got a good, really good nucleus of guys that play well together. And you know, we got 2 guys right now that are in our leading scores, but we have different guys stepping up every night. So.
And we know you got Lawrenceburg in the first round on Thursday night. Gavin Yoon, one of the better players here in Southeast Indiana, but perhaps throughout the entire state of Indiana. Don't want to give away any trade secrets, but the challenge of stopping him and a pretty deep Lawrenceburg team, they're playing a lot of kids this year.
Yeah. I mean, they're playing very similar this year to the style we play in a lot of ways. You know, you're not going to stop Gavin. You got to make it tough on him, you know, and you got to make sure, you know, if he can't let somebody else go off and have a game that's out of our mind. Mm-hmm. You know, we got to stop Gavin and make it hard on, just make it harder on him as hard as we can all night. They can make tough shots. And if he makes them, then he makes them. But we got to make sure we do a good job on everybody else also. Not let them do anything that they don't do any other game. So, you know, he's a really good player. Like I said, I tell everybody that I I'm from Northern Kentucky, so I tell everybody in Northern Kentucky, you know, he's one of the best offensive players, if not the best offensive player with the ball around here. So, I mean, he's a tough matchup, but, you know, we just got to make sure every shot's difficult and every shot that he shoots, there's a hand in his face, and make him make tough shots. He'll make them because, I mean, he's a good player, but we just got to make him tough all night and stop everybody else.
And finally, what would it mean to you and your kids to cut down the nets at the Rivertown Classic this week?
I think it'd be, you know, great for our kids. I mean, you know, last few years, there's not been a ton of success coming through here. These kids are working to change that culture. They work hard every day. They deserve it.
All right. Well, I appreciate you calling in today, and we wish you the best of luck at the Rivertown Classic.
I really appreciate it.
All right. There's some coaches' comments from Kevin Reinhart, the head coach of the South Dearborn Knights. Glad he could join the broadcast tonight. We tried to get the Rivertown Classic roundtable together. Invites were extended to all the coaches there that are going to participate, both on the boys and girls side. We got who we could. We were able to, we're glad we were able to talk to Coach Blackwell and Coach Reinhart to preview the Rivertown Classic. Cause as mentioned, we love being out at the Rivertown each and every year. Like I mentioned, we broadcast all eight games, both girls and boys. We'll even bring you some coverage of the cheerleading competition on Saturday night via Facebook Live, because those girls put a lot of time and effort into being the Rivertown Classic cheerleading champs. So it's always a lot of fun getting out to South Dearborn, seeing all the familiar faces, having that buzz in the building, the two different rivalry games, Lawrenceburg and South Dearborn, Switzerland County and Rising Sun, the way it was drawn this year, I think it's going to make for a fantastic opening two nights with the girls getting it underway on Wednesday the 8th. South Dearborn, Lawrenceburg will play the first game, then Switzerland County, Rising Sun. You'll have the same schedule on Thursday for the boys tournament. And don't let the records fool you either, because you never know what's going to happen in the Rivertown. You never know when there's going to be a first round upset. And you got a team playing on Friday or Saturday night that has a chance to do something really cool, because you don't always necessarily see the underdog cut down the net, but we have seen the underdogs play in the championship game several times over the past 20 years. So we could talk more and more about each individual team going into Rivertown Classic, and we will do that over the next couple of days. I certainly will, with Drive Time with Double T in the afternoon, 2 to 6 o'clock, so you can always tune in for that. But a little retrospective, a little walk down memory lane. Want to go back to the very first Rivertown Classic. And let me get the year for you on that. If I'm not mistaken, 2001. Yes, indeed, it was 2001, because my brother was a senior at Lawrenceburg. First ever Rivertown Classic. And wouldn't you know it, my brother's Lawrenceburg Tigers team took home the first ever Rivertown Classic. And 20 years later, we got the 20th annual coming up this week. I'm not saying wouldn't it be something if Lawrenceburg won, that'd be great, but it'd be it's going to be great for any one of these four schools if they're able to cut down the nets and just kind of get some more momentum, propelling them towards the middle of the season for the boys and towards sectional for the girls. So it's going to be a lot of fun, and there's going to be a lot of great kids out there on the floor showcasing their talents. On the boys' side, we have mentioned Gavin Yoon, the star for Lawrenceburg, perhaps the best scorer in this tournament on the boys' side. For South Dearborn, I'm just going to kind of single out one player for each team. Alex Shackelford, who you heard Coach Reinhart talk about, he's a do-it-all guard for South Dearborn. Really good out in transition, can shoot the three ball as well, so always like watching him play. For Switzerland County, it's Damian Breek. He's been on the scene since he was a sophomore. And the first time I saw him play, I was like, okay, this kid's got a lot of talent, good ball handler, good scorer. And he's going to put up some points here at the Rivertown Classic. And for Rising Sun, they're a young team, but really like Landon Cole out there, junior forward for them. But he can do some ball handling, good rebounder, really good driving to the basket. So he's got a lot of upside there for Rising Sun as well. If you go over to the girls' tournament, of course, everybody knows about Juliana Kemper. She's been a star for Lawrenceburg since she was a freshman, and trying to lead her team to a fourth straight Rivertown Classic this year. She's a walking double-double, and she can handle the ball really well and gets her teammates involved as well. For South Dearborn, we mentioned Kirsten Bond, a big-time scorer for the Lady Knights. 20 points per game is about where her average is at, so she's fantastic. Aaliyah Thomas, a do-it-all guard for Switzerland County, is going to be featured in this tournament, and she's got a couple good guards playing next to her, and the Wilson twins that she can play off of and get the ball to some of her other teammates. States. And then for Rising Sun, Maddie Wilson, a younger player, but she can really score the basketball, kind of taking over the seat that Lucy Kerrigan sat in a couple years ago as the primary scorer for the Rising Sun Lady Shiners. And speaking of Lucy Kerrigan, I don't know if anybody's going to touch her record of points in a tournament on the girls' side, up over 50 points. She was phenomenal a couple of years ago. Same could be said for Joel Scudder, who still holds the record for most points in a single game, 47, and most in a tournament of 58. I don't think any of those are in jeopardy. You'd have to average 30 points per game to get the whole tournament scoring record. Perhaps Gavin Yoon might be able to do that, but he's not a selfish player, so I don't think anybody's going to be going for individual awards in this particular Rivertown Classic. One record that could be broken, perhaps, and I'm not saying this is a bad thing, but fewest points combined in a girls game could be in jeopardy. And I say that because the defense of some of these teams are really good. It's not for lack of scoring. Just saw Lawrenceburg play a 28-20 game, so we know they're very good at defense, but if somebody could potentially lock them down on the offensive end, could have a record set there. So just kind of spitballing at this point and throwing out some things that could be of interest out at the Rivertown Classic. But what we do know is Rising Sun's going to defend their title on the boys' side, and the three-time defending champ Lawrenceburg Tigers will defend it on the girls' side, and it'll all get started on Wednesday, January 8th. It'll run through Saturday, January 11th. We will call all eight games for you on Eagle Country 99.3. And before I sign off tonight, a big thanks to Liberty Tax, who has signed on to be the proud sponsor of Crunch Time, which you will hear now 6 to 6:30 every Monday night, bumping up that start time. But our big thanks to Liberty Tax. You got to check them out this tax season. You can find them most near to the Eagle's Nest on US 50 in Lawrenceburg, next to Dearborn Savings Bank. Stop in there, give them a call, just meet with somebody, see what they can do for you this tax season. Get that preparation and planning going early, so you can get those tax returns back and do something fun with that money, perhaps. Our thanks to Liberty Tax. We'll talk more about them in the coming weeks and months about what they can do for you, helping with your taxes. And in the meantime, we hope that you can either get out to the Rivertown Classic this week, or at the very least, you'll be able to listen right here on Eagle Country 99.3. This has been Crunch Time with JB and Double T, presented by Liberty Tax. Thank you for listening. So long and good night.